It is kind of hard to understand what is happening in the first reading if we don't understand the context for the passage. Under many times of persecution of the Jewish people at different times in their history, the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, were outlawed. And so any copy of a text of the book of Genesis or Deuteronomy or Leviticus or any of the writings of the prophets, if it was found and discovered, it was burned. And so we find ourselves in the discovery of scriptures that have been away from the people for a period of time. I mean, to think what it would be like for the Bible, the scriptures, to be outlawed, for every copy to be collected and burned, and then after a period of 20, 30, 40 years, coming across an old lectionary that got buried somewhere in some place, some Bible, in order to be able to hear once again the scriptures, the Word of God, what that would mean to those who are trying to live out their Christian faith, to hear once again the Gospels. I mean, what is Christmas without hearing, you know, Luke's account of the events and Matthew's account of the shepherds in the field and the angels and their proclamation? They would have only heard it from the mouths of their grandparents and parents. And that's the situation we find in the first reading today. They are hearing anew, afresh, for the first time, many of them, what God has done for them. And we see their reaction and the response as one of weeping and sorrow. And they are encouraged that this is a day holy unto the Lord. Don't weep, don't cry, but rejoice in the Lord. You know, it's very important that we remember what God has done in our life if we find ourselves in the present moment in great difficulty, because to remember the past and to remember the faithfulness of God and what He has done in order to bring us safely to this point, to remember that brings us hope in the present moment. And for them, in the restoration that is taking place that they are a part of, to hear God's faithfulness being proclaimed to them was a reminder, and it was a gift of bringing hope into this moment. We see the kind of very human situation at the beginning of the gospel today. It seems almost out of place. We think, oh well, no, it's scripture. It's supposed to be, you know, it's very stoic, and this is what it is. But yet, it begins out the Gospel of Luke. Luke writing to Theophilus and saying, I'm compiling all of the stories, I'm putting the narrative together in order so that you, Theophilus, who have only heard of what Jesus has done, will know that what has been spoken to you, that it is real and authentic. I'm compiling it all anew so that you will be able to read it afresh, that you will be able to have hope for this present moment. My brothers and sisters, in hearing the gospel proclaimed today, does it bring us hope for this present moment? I mean, the other day, Friday morning, I was out and about, running errands, visiting people, doing things, and I got a text message from one of my priests in my Jesu Caritas group, and he's like, did you get the letter that the 11's got an article and they're releasing the report and all of this stuff? And I was like, nah, I didn't get it. When did they send it out? Well, they sent it out 10 o'clock last night to let us know that at 7 o'clock in the morning the next day it was going to be on the internet. I was like, oh, yeah, great. You know, 7 minutes after 10, you know, I was trying to go to bed. And when we experience the current situation of things, the current situations of government, some people said that they've been doing some reading about the past history of our American government and some of the dialogues and conversations and debates that happened on the, you know, the floor of the, but these are like, I mean, like the old debates with like the founding fathers of the country, you know, all of these people that we immortalize and put into marble and you know, and make memorials and all of these things for. And the person said, what I've discovered is that nothing has changed. That's what I've discovered. That these people that we idealize and make into heroes and all of this thing of legend and all of this stuff, they said they were just as bad as we were. Just as worse. And so the reading of Scripture today, my brothers and sisters, is a reminder for us of what God has done, of who we are, of what we have become, so that we will remember and that in the midst of this present moment, no matter what it is, no matter all of the challenges, I spoke about some corporate challenges, but the personal challenges of each and every one of us, that we would have hope in this moment to be reminded of what God has done and of His faithfulness. And does God change? I hope you're saying no. You're being very quiet Catholics today. Nobody's yelling out, no, Father. Amen. No, God does not change. He is the same today as He has been and as He always will be. He is faithful and true. And what we read in the gospel text today, that Jesus goes to His hometown, He opens up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and He speaks of the anointing that has come upon Him, the Holy Spirit that has descended upon Him in His baptism. We also call it the anointing. That's why He is called the Christ, because He is the anointed one. And in it, Jesus declares that this passage, written hundreds of years before by the mouth of another prophet, is fulfilled today in their hearing. That it is true today that the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, because He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Could you imagine the energy in that synagogue getting ramped up in that moment as Jesus just sits down and looks at them all and says, this is fulfilled today in your hearing. Like, oh my goodness. Like, what's going to happen now? We've only heard about what He's taught, what He has done. What is going to happen now? It is fulfilled in Him. Imagine the hope that it brought to that moment in which they're in the midst of Roman occupation and all of the weird things going on at that time. How much hope that brought to that moment. But it's important for us to remember, my brothers and sisters, in the second reading, something that will bring it even to this moment. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he is reminding the Corinthians all about body parts, right? All the eyes and the ears and the noses and the appendixes and the left foots and the right foots and all of those things. And how God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy and compassion, has woven us together to form a single body. But that's not all. Paul says to the Corinthians, now you are Christ's body and individually parts of it. My brothers and sisters, you are the body of the Anointed One. You are the body of the Christ. You are the body made and drawn together by the Spirit. The same Spirit that dwells in the foot is the same Spirit that dwells in the eye and in the ear and the appendix. That we are drawn together in the intimacy in our relationship with God, that we too now share this anointing. We are not knit together into the dead body of Jesus Christ, but in the living body of Jesus Christ that is anointed with the Holy Spirit. And if you dare to receive it, my brothers and sisters, this gospel passage in which we speak about the anointing that rests upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we dare in this moment to claim it for ourselves, that what is spoken of Jesus and what is fulfilled in Him, that He has been anointed with the Holy Spirit to bring about this incredible year, recovery of sight to the blind, letting the oppressed go free, that this same commission, this same anointing rests upon the church. Now, and that might be a little easier to accept. You know how I said that? Rests upon the church. Who's the church? Is it this building? Amen. I got a few head shakes. That's better Catholic feedback here. I'm going to have to get some Baptists in here and just have them sit down here and start teaching us how to give an amen every once in a while. The point being, my brothers and sisters, is that we are the body of Christ to the church, and we have received this same anointing. 2 weeks ago, the heavens opened and declared, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter. As the Spirit descended upon Jesus, as it descended upon us. Last week, we were reminded that the intimacy that God wants of us is not just to save us, but to draw us into an intimacy of friendship and intimacy of love. That the two would become one in Him. And today we see that culmination when we declare that the church, the body of Christ, is living. Yes, we recognize His presence here sacramentally before us. True flesh, true blood. But do not diminish the fact of what we have become in Him. I mean, even the little kid, you say to him, you know, what is it? You are what you eat, right? Stop eating all that sugar and the soda pop, but eat good things and you will be. You are what you eat. Even that logic tells us that we must understand who we become through this relationship with Him. This passage is intended to bring hope, not just to the people of Jesus' time, not just to the Corinthians who Paul wrote years after, but these passages of Scripture are intended to bring hope to us today, my brothers and sisters. And do we need it? Yeah, we do. All right, I got people rolling now. We need the hope today. And it will come through Jesus' relationship with us, the church, for us to continue to carry out His mission, His work. Sit with this, my brothers and sisters. Sit with this until this passage, you make it your own. That you claim it, that you believe that what God has spoken truly of His Son, He speaks of His church in you and me. For we have received the same Spirit to go forth and to proclaim hope for this generation. But we have to receive the gift first if we are ever going to give it away. Amen.